The bird threw back its head and crowed, and its cry was the thunder. The world beneath them flashed past in one strange dream. Laura adjusted her grip on the stick, and she waited for the man she knew as Mr. World to come to her. She was facing away from him, looking out at the storm and the dark green hills below.
In this sorry world,
she thought,
the symbol is the thing, yes.
She felt his hand close softly onto her right shoulder.
Good,
she thought.
He does not want to alarm me. He is scared that I will throw his stick out into the storm, that it will tumble down the mountainside, and he will lose it.
She leaned back just a little until she was touching his chest with her back. His left arm curved around her. It was an intimate gesture. His left hand was open in front of her. She closed both of her hands around the top of the stick, exhaled, concentrated.
Please, my stick,
he said in her ears.
Yes, it's yours.
And then, not knowing if it would mean anything, she said,
I dedicate this death to Shadow.
And she stabbed the stick into her chest just below the breastbone, felt it writhe and change in her hands as the stick became a spear. The boundary between sensation and pain had diffused since she had died. She felt the spearhead penetrate her chest, felt it push out through her back. A moment's resistance, she pushed harder, and the spear thrust into Mr. World. She could feel the warm breath of him on the cool skin of her neck as he wailed in hurt and surprise, impaled on the spear. She did not recognize the words he spoke, nor the language he said them in. She pushed the shaft of the spear further in, forcing it through her body, into and through his. She could feel his hot blood spurting onto her back.
Bitch. You fucking bitch.
There was a wet, gurgling quality to his voice. She guessed that the blade of the spear must have sliced a lung. Mr. World was moving now, or trying to move, and every move he made rocked her too. They were joined by the pole, impaled together like two fish on a single spear. He now had a knife in one hand, she saw, and he stabbed her chest and breasts randomly and wildly with the knife, unable to see what he was doing. She did not care. What are knife cuts to a corpse? She brought her fist down hard on his waving wrist, and the knife went flying to the floor of the cavern. She kicked it away. And now he was crying and wailing. She could feel him pushing against her, his hands fumbling at her back, his hot tears on her neck. His blood was soaking her back, spurting down the back of her legs.
This must look so undignified.
She felt Mr. World stumble behind her, and she stumbled too, and then she slipped in the blood, all of it his, that was puddling on the floor of the cave, and they both went down. The Thunderbird landed in the Rock City parking lot. Rain was falling in sheets. Shadow could barely see a dozen feet in front of his face. He let go of the Thunderbird's feathers and half-slipped, half-tumbled to the wet tarmac. The bird looked at him. Lightning flashed, and the bird was gone. Shadow climbed to his feet. The parking lot was three-quarters empty. Shadow started toward the entrance. He passed a brown Ford Explorer parked against a rock wall. There was something deeply familiar about the car, and he glanced up at it curiously, noticing the man inside the car slumped over the steering wheel as if asleep. Shadow pulled open the driver's door. He had last seen Mr. Town standing outside the motel in the center of America. The expression on his face was one of surprise. His neck had been expertly broken. Shadow touched the man's face, still warm. Shadow could smell a scent on the air in the car. It was faint, like the perfume of someone who left a room years before, but Shadow would have known it anywhere. He slammed the door of the Explorer and made his way across the parking lot. As he walked, he felt a twinge in his side, a sharp jabbing pain that must have only existed in his head, as it lasted for only a second or less, and then it was gone. There was nobody in the gift shop, nobody selling tickets. He walked through the building and out into the gardens of Rock City. Thunder rumbled, and it rattled the branches of the trees and shook deep inside the huge rocks, and the rain fell with cold violence. It was late afternoon, but it was dark as night. A trail of lightning speared across the clouds, and Shadow wondered if that was the Thunderbird returning to its high crags, or just an atmospheric discharge, or whether the two ideas were, on some level, the same thing. And, of course they were. That was the point, after all. Somewhere a man's voice called out. Shadow heard it. The only words he recognized, or thought he recognized, were,
"To Odin."
Shadow hurried across Seven States Flag Court, the flagstones now running fast with a dangerous amount of rainwater. Once he slipped on the slick stone. There was a thick layer of cloud surrounding the mountain, and in the gloom and the storm beyond the courtyard he could see no states at all. There was no sound. The place seemed utterly abandoned. He called out and imagined he heard something answering. He walked toward the place from which he thought the sound had come. Nobody. Nothing. Just a chain marking the entrance to a cave as off-limits to guests. Shadow stepped over the chain. He looked around, peering into the darkness. His skin prickled. A voice from behind him in the shadows said very quietly,
"You have never disappointed me."
Shadow did not turn.
"That's weird. I disappointed myself all the way, every time."
"Not at all. You did everything you were meant to do and more. You took everybody's attention, so they never looked at the hand with the coin in it. It's called misdirection, and there's power in the sacrifice of a son. Power enough, and more than enough, to get the whole ball rolling. To tell the truth, I'm proud of you."
"It was crooked. All of it. None of it was for real. It was just a setup for a massacre."
"Exactly,"
said Wednesday's voice from the shadows.
"It was crooked. But it was the only game in town."
"I want Laura. I want Loki. Where are they?"
There was only silence. A spray of rain gusted at him. Thunder rumbled somewhere close at hand. He walked further in. Loki Lysmith sat on the ground with his back to a metal cage. Inside the cage, drunken pixies tended their still. He was covered with a blanket. Only his face showed, and his hands, white and long, came around the blanket. An electric lantern sat on a chair beside him. The lantern's batteries were close to failing, and the light it cast was faint and yellow. He looked pale, and he looked rough. His eyes were still fiery, and they glared at Shadow as he walked through the cavern. When Shadow was several paces from Loki, he stopped.
"You are too late. I have thrown the spear. I have dedicated the battle. It has begun."
"No shit."
"No shit. It doesn't matter what you do anymore. It is too late."
"Okay. You say there's some spear you had to throw to kick off the battle. Like the whole Uppsala thing. This is the battle you'll be feeding on. Am I right?"
Silence. He could hear Loki breathing, a ghastly, rattling inhalation.
"I figured it out. Kind of. I'm not sure when I figured it out. Maybe when I was hanging on the tree. Maybe before. It was from something Wednesday said to me at Christmas."
Loki just stared at him, saying nothing.
"It's just a two-man con. Like the bishop and the diamond necklace and the cop. Like the guy with the fiddle and the guy who wants to buy the fiddle. And the poor sap in between them who pays for the fiddle. Two men who appear to be on opposite sides, playing the same game."
"You are ridiculous."
"Why? I like what you did at the motel. That was smart. You needed to be there, to make sure that everything went according to plan. I saw you. I even realized who you were. And I still never twigged that you were their Mr. World. Or maybe I did. Somewhere deep down, I knew your voice anyway. You can come out,"
he said to the cavern.
"Wherever you are, show yourself."
The wind howled in the opening of the cavern, and it drove a spray of rainwater in toward them. Shadow shivered.
"I'm tired of being played for a sucker. Show yourself. Let me see you."
There was a change in the shadows at the back of the cave. Something became more solid. Something shifted.
"You know too damn much, my boy,"
said Wednesday's familiar rumble.
"So they didn't kill you?"
"They killed me. None of this would have worked if they hadn't."
His voice was faint, not actually quiet, but there was a quality to it that made Shadow think of an old radio not quite tuned in to a distant station.
If I hadn't died for real, we could never have got them here. Collie, and the Morrigan, and the Loa, and the fucking Albanians, and... Well, you've seen them all. It was my death that drew them all together. I was the sacrificial lamb.
No.